Welcome to Little Birdie Podcast. I'm your host, Scoot. Welcome to Thursday Lines, our AFL and NRL show for 2024. Can't wait for the AFL and the league to be back. And I'm joined in studio with Nick Tedeschi and Mark Goodwill. And boys, this is the first time we've all been in the same room since we started Little Birdie.
How many years is this? 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, we're getting on. It's good to have you.
First time. Oh, great to be.
And you, MG? Bit of a treat.
Yeah, this is my home ground, so yeah, happy to host you boys. You get down here a bit scooty, but yeah, top rope. Doesn't often get to the major sporting capital of Australia to top rope. So
I do often get to Sydney, but not down here.
And you survived no league? How was it?
Like a lost soul in the desert, just wandering around aimlessly, knowing no idea what to do with myself. Absolutely what a pointless exercise summer is.
It was a cracking grand final. Just recapping it quickly, Broncos had it on a plate, but Penrith just found a way.
Nathan Cleary, I don't know if there's ever been about 20 minutes of football in a bigger game. It was absolutely incredible. But gee, they threw that away, the Broncos. When Rams scored that third try, it was over. They just stopped playing footy. Didn't know how to shut the Panthers down. And here we go, 3-0, first team since the Eels in 83 to win 3 on the trot.
Signs of immaturity. And Collingwood, far too strong in the AFL. They look dominant again this year, MG.
Yeah, well, they only just got over the line in the grand final. I'm not sure it was dominant. I thought from...
They dominated the season, though.
Yeah, dominated the season, yeah. But combined, you wouldn't get two better back-to-back grand finals in both codes. Like, you know, both games were unbelievable. And, the thing is, with Brisbane losing, they didn't lose it. They, you know, they played to their best and just couldn't find the line. So, a bit different from the NRL. It was kind of close most of the day, and Brisbane were coming, and they didn't run out of time. It just, cracking game in front of a big crowd, perfect day. So, yeah, the best team, I think, won it.
Yeah, you say that it was a couple of great grand finals, but I think all the people of Brisbane would probably say otherwise. Had two golden opportunities and somewhat soiled the bed. The NRL, speaking of soiled the bed, the NRL is on a bit of a mission over to Las Vegas trying to grow the game, and it's a bit of a stunt from PVL to try and, lure in the American gambling dollar. What's the reality of that sort of happening? Do you think they're going to make any impact? Top rope?
Now, no. But I think if they persist with this over time, there's a good chance that they can just get a nice little subculture going on over there. But I don't think anyone's delusional enough to think that it's ever going to be anything more than a pimple on the ass of American sport over there.
It's pretty saturated.
Yeah, right. But with a population as big as they've got over there and looking for round-the-clock betting content, as we all know over here, we've all worked for joints before. Everyone's looking for content. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking for content from, you know, prime time to midnight to 6 a.m. You know, not everyone works the 9-to-5 lifestyle. You get home and, you know, you want to have a bet and all of a sudden, you know, you understand rugby league. So I think there's some validity in it, and certainly not new either. Like, rugby league first went to America 94 years ago. Like, they've been trying to crack this nut for a long, long time. I'll give PV all this. He's probably the most, as much whether you like him or hate him, he's probably the one best equipped to do it. Like, what he did with something like the Everest, created out of thin air and made it such a relevant, important race. But he is the guy to kind of try to force it. And one thing that's never happened when rugby league's gone over to the US or tried to kind of go overseas is just this relentless high-end marketing. Normally they just go play the game and everyone forgets about it because it's a failure. Like, it's been pretty big.
It is. And it was interesting to see the Australian government pull all the strings to get the boys who have had a couple of misdemeanors. No one's, I guess, got a blemish-free record, but followed up by a lot of the Brisbane Broncos boys seem to be in there, a couple of South Sydney players as well. And then 2 days later, no doubt, the Brisbane boys just wrestling in the park.
Boys will be boys. Come on. And this, the Australian government and the American government, rugby league, they're trying to save the country by bringing an alien team into Papua New Guinea, working on the national security angle. So here's a tip, US and Australian governments. You owe us.
And the AFL season, it's been a quiet off-season, I would have said, in the AFL. There's lots of rumours circling around the Demons. They came back and, I guess, squashed the rumour that Goodwin was sort of in the air. They've had the drug crisis with one of their players allegedly trafficking cocaine. And then obviously there's the issues around sort of Clayton Oliver. So it's going to be a make or break year for the Dees. Obviously the AFL put a lot of time and energy in. Paul Roos turned the club around, but they're on the rocks again, the Dees, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you were a fan of the rumour yesterday on the
I was just passing on. I'm out of the click.
Yeah, I thought they had a practice match last night against Carlton, and they actually cleaned Carlton's clock. But Goodwin spoke pretty well before the game, and, you know, I'm not sure where he actually sits. He's probably on his last warning. But, yeah, they played well. He seems okay, Goodwin, with it. He's got some dramas around the club. And, yeah, it goes one of two ways with Melbourne, doesn't it? It could all fall over really quickly because there's certainly cracks in the foundations. But they're a good football club, Melbourne. So, you know, they just keep it on the park. They'll be top, you know, top four to top six again.
Mm, could galvanise them, whoever's left standing. So fingers crossed they can turn it around. I guess no one likes to see those sort of off-field issues. Sadly, I guess there's only one coach change, and that's Hardwick up at the Gold Coast. He's come to visit Scoot up north.
Yeah, no.
He's seen the light.
No good for Top Rope. He loves a coach change. I think there was four last year.
Filthy.
Yeah, it was just, Hardwick taking over from Gold Coast. AFL still trying their best to get the market going up there, and you're telling me that you're going to join force. I know you're a mad keen Hawthorn man, but you're telling me that the Gold Coast membership's being bought and you look like attending the majority of the home games this year.
Well, they do. Like, it's an interesting initiative. Since we've been up there, the kids are in the junior footy. There's around, I'd say, maybe 17 to 20 clubs or teams within the Gold Coast sort of region. So AFL is growing, much to probably your distaste, Top Rope. And we're even hearing stuff of a lot of the grassroots level of rugby league. They're going from, say, like six sides around the Tweed competition in juniors to sort of like two and three. So at junior level, the game's in decay with rugby league, whereas AFL just goes from strength to strength. So in under-10s and under-12s, 20 teams across the Gold Coast region is absolutely busting. So you can see why the AFL have put in this investment, and the Gold Coast Suns, you know, they look like they need a bit of a brand change from a marketing perspective. I've been saying this for a while. It looks pretty poxy, the whole setup, but they're going to be a force, I think, and it's a right play in 5 or 10 years' time, and it's much to the demise of NRL, and the funding that you guys are doing chasing this gambling dollar could backfire in years to come, I would have thought, because the Australian Rules stronghold in Queensland is just going to go from strength to strength.
Well, guess what's thriving in junior sport? Soccer. Guess how popular it is at the professional level? Zero. Zero correlation.
Okay.
So anyway, and anyone who says Queensland is an AFL sport, come on, screw it. All you expats who cover up to the Gold Coast, get out to real Queensland, Ipswich, Gympie, Mount Isa. Not many AFL fans there.
Well, the
Chiefs
in rugby league. The Gold Coast Suns will be knocking down the door of the finals, so I think the AFL are going to look after them there. But I think the Suns can sneak into the eight. Yeah. Brisbane Broncos are in a fair bit of trouble because they've lost a couple of players. I'll let you guys talk about that in a second.
But, a question for you, though. You've got a Gold Coast resident. What's bigger news up there? Hasler up there or Hardwick up there? They're both pretty big coaching. Like, from a one-city coaching change point of view, like that's – you've pulled two multiple premiership-winning coaches to come and take – to a club where – to an area that has never had any – or at least in league time, a good coach, proper setup. So,
And no team's ever really made a go of it on the Gold Coast. Any sport, have they?
Gold Coast Wars.
Over decades,
I would say in through the press it'd be 50-50.
Yeah, right.
And something you pressed me on yesterday, I would say that I'm starting to watch more rugby league.
Of course you are.
So, yeah, the AFL's product's not perfect, but I think it's starting to get to a stage where the expansion teams are starting to catch up. And – I think that was.
They were in the expansion teams. They've been around for 12 years, haven't they?
But it really, I think they diluted the game of talent for like a long time there. But I think it's slowly starting to catch up. So it's a more balanced comp, and it's taking sides less of a time to turn it around from, I guess, the doldrums. But let's push the show along and have a look at the NRL Premiership market. We'll have a quick look at the futures, and then the only games we've got this weekend are the Vegas clashes. So there's only two games this week, and then we get into full seasons for the rest of the AFL and NRL next week. So it's a bit of a patchy show today. But Penrith Panthers are the favourite here, $4. Broncos are $4.20. Sydney Roosters at $9. Melbourne Storm, $10. South Sydney Rabbitohs, $11. And then you got Warriors at $15. And then it starts to blow out from there. Top Rope, Penrith, obviously, very obvious, but the Broncos seem to be the one that's the hole in the market for a lot of people. A lot of people are taking them on. A lot of key changes to their personnel, and they look under the odds at the 420. Everyone I speak to wants to get stuck into the Broncos.
Yeah, lay them to your nosebleeds. Like, they are one of the – I can't believe they're as close in the market as they are with Penrith. Like, the Panthers are legitimately an all-time team, and I know that – yeah. How long can you keep something like this up? Like, that's always the question. Well, they won three in a row. They're actually different to a lot of teams that they've got such a good junior base coming through. They can just replenish talent. Like, they've lost Stephen Crichton, best centre in the game. And they've replaced him with Taylor May, who was their top try scorer 2 years ago, who had an ACL last year. So they're going to be fine this year. By my ratings, they were actually underrated last year. You don't often get a team at the top of the comp who wins 18 games who are kind of behind their true win ratio. So I've got Penrith on top. I think they're a bet at the $4. It's a nice bet there. The other team I've backed is the Sydney Roosters. Yep. Only team on par talent-wise in Penrith. So they've got a bit to work out, particularly in the halves and how they use Tedesco at fullback and stuff like that. But I think they're absolutely better. I know a lot of the sharp judges are all over the chooks. I think they've gone on about the $11-$12.
Yeah. And Melbourne Storm, Pat's back. He's looking better than ever. You've been wedded to the Storm for probably the last 5 or 6 years, I would have said.
Yeah, Pap's back. I haven't backed him for the premiership, but I am on him for the top four overseas and win titles. We'll get to that all pretty soon. But same story with the Storm. They are 100% reliant on no injuries to their key players.
Mm.
So, they had a bad year last year. Worst year everyone can seem to remember the Storm. They finished 6-8. Ran third and won made it to a prelim. Like, there's no this is the flaw. So I can't. People are picking to miss the eight. They're great, but we're looking at top four markets now. 260. That's 100% of it. So, and those top four markets, I've backed the Storm at 260 and the Sharks at 360. I think the Sharks are the most underrated team in the competition from a talent point of view. Not really. Like, I certainly couldn't be on for the premiership or anything like that.
Yeah,
they have been gifted a draw for the ages. But they, to put it in context, they play teams with a combined number of wins last year, 266. Second is 282, 16 wins. The difference between second and last is 17 wins. So, like, they've all the draws relatively compared, except for the Sharks went up. Raiders benefited from it last year, made the finals with a minus 130 differential. Sharks 82. Are just the absolute draw darlings this year.
Mm. South Sydney Rabbitohs at $2.50 to make the top four. Latrell Mitchell probably needs to bounce back, injury, suspension, and then you've got Jack Whiten coming to the club. He's obviously not going to play round one, but what are your thoughts about the Rabbits?
Yeah, don't love the Bunnies this year. I've gone running fifth, so I'm not a huge lay on them, but already had lost Campbell Graham for half the year. Tyron Munro's out for a little while there. Jack's suspended. I think they might be a little thin, and I they're halfback. How they have wedded themselves to this Lachlan Ilias, he is very, very ordinary, so. Might try hard, but he's not one of mine.
And what's the forecast for New Zealand Warriors? A few changes there?
Well, they've bought very, very well.
Mm.
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is back. They've got Kurt Capelby, culture guy over there. Look, Wild's fever was everywhere last year, and they rode that momentum all the way. And even this is how popular rugby league has become in New Zealand in the last year. They sold out both their preseason games. I've never seen it before. Sold out, but couldn't get a ticket. So, and these weren't at Poxy Stadium. These were, 24,000 seat stadium. So, I've got the Warriors in the bottom half of the eight. Yeah. I think they'll be around the mark. I find it hard to believe they can replicate what they did last year.
Mm.
And someone like Sean Johnson, I think he's turned 34 this year.
Yeah,
he had one of those years that kind of spiked up after a kind of gradual, downward trend. I don't think he can replicate what he did last year. So I think if he can play at a decent level, they'll go well, but I don't think they're in the mix of the premiership.
Mm, it's interesting because obviously your season guide's pretty comprehensive. It's a 19-page behemoth, and you've got them ranked second in draw. So Cronulla's got the easiest draw, then you've got the Warriors. The Warriors went pretty deep last year, and a lot of smart judges took great prices, the Warriors.
Yep.
Made a really good book around them.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, they were fantastic last year. And like, you were, like, I think – 6 weeks out, you could get $8 on for the top four.
Mm.
Like, you could do a really good job with the Warriors if the draw from second to last is not a huge differential. Like, there's no like they, yeah, they absolutely benefit from that, but they were significantly overrated last year. Like they were probably close to a 14-15 win team, not the 16 win team they were.
Yeah,
I think they're going to kind of go similar. Like they're not going to sneak up on teams like they did last year.
Any value in the top eight market?
I think the Sharks make the top eight. $1.80 now is the bet of the season, maybe the bet of the decade. Like I have no idea how they missed the eight. They have no team changes, so there's not a lot of upside to them. But there's not a lot of downside either. Ran sixth last year, made the top eight in two or three years on the trot. Just given a pretty reliable coach, Nick Hines, halfback. Well, that's free money. The other thing I did like, and we'll talk about injuries in a tick, but I was all over the Dolphins here at a good price to make the top eight. But they lost their best forward, Tom Gilbert. He's out for the year. Herbie Farmworth, I'm not sure where that's at this morning, but he injured himself at training yesterday. So just a few little things going on there. Just there's a team that's not deep enough.
Can't afford to go the wrong. Eagles. Yeah.
I still think they can make the eight, but I'm probably less bullish on them now than I was when the guide came out.
Mm. Okay. Talking about the Wooden Spoon or Lease Win markets at Top Sport, you've got St. George Illawarra Dragons at $3, West Tigers $3.20, Canberra Raiders $6.50, and then Dolphins $9 and your Bulldogs $11. West Tigers, a lot of noise around there. Shane Richardson's moved in the role. How long is it going to take for the Tigers to clean house?
It'll take a year or two. They've got Luai coming next year, which is a bit of a boon for them, but there's too much rubbish in that club.
Yep.
Like they're just not good enough at the moment. They just haven't got that base of young players coming through, which now Shane Richardson's there, absolutely will be priority number one. But this stuff takes time. So, I don't love the Tigers this year to do well, but I think they can probably avoid the Spoon. Depends how much they want to play for Benji. So Georgia Law are clearly the worst team in the comp. So, but price is about right there. Like Shane Fanning's kind of renowned as a pretty tough coach. I think the value's with the Raiders.
Okay. And the top try scorer markets or season point scorer markets, if you had a look at those, AJ's obviously the favourite in that one at 750. Anyone jump out of the ground for you? Or
the one I would want to be on here on this front page is Alfiana Khan-Pereira, who's fastest man in the NRL.
Mm-hmm.
He just, like, speed is what gets you to the top of this try scoring list. So I'll be honest, I'm not high enough on the Titans to kind of be too bullish on this, but that's who I would be playing in that market. Alex Johnson's just super reliable, but who wants to take 750 about top try score? Like, it's tough old sweat.
All right, outstanding. MG, let's talk AFL, and we'll have a look at the premiership market. And no surprises here. Collingwood are favourite, $5. Brisbane Lions, $6. Carlton, $7. Melbourne Demons, $8. GWS, $8.50. Sydney Swans, $9. Port Adelaide, $11. Adelaide Crows, $14. And then you've got the Cats and the Dogs sort of rounding out that sort of $14, $19 mark. And then big odds are S30s and much, much better. Collingwood got the advantage, I guess, of the MCG. Top four is likely for them. If you're a Collingwood supporter and the fan base just seems as loud as ever at the moment, $5 sort of looks fair.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not – wouldn't talk anyone out of Collingwood. I think they're what goes against them is obviously history. Back-to-back's difficult to do. I think there's three teams since the 2000 era kind of started. But, profiling, as you said, they get a lot of neutral games. Big games don't overawe them. And so I think when they're being the hunted, I think they're used to it.
Yep.
Because they play in so many high-pressure games, always playing in front of 80,000-plus kind of crowd. And their list is on the way up. They haven't lost too many. McStay's going to hurt them. But, Collingwood's won a flag with a makeshift forward line. They get Schultz from Freo. So, I'm no pot on Collingwood, but just – from when you've got the bookies hat on, you're trying to lay it and stuff like that. You've got to, generally you tend to lay the favourite. But, anyone who likes Collingwood wants to sit the $5 out. There's no pot. And the same with Brisbane, Scoot. I've been a bit like Top Rope with Melbourne Storm, been bullish on them for a couple of years now. Just couldn't quite get the job done last year. But, again, they don't lose much. Neil's still the key to their side and he's getting on. Won the Brownlow last year. Just dominant home ground advantage, well coached, don't have too many weaknesses, and they run pretty deep. So can't tip either of them, but I'm not going to talk anyone out of the top two either. I'm going down a bit the list. I think they were fifth and sixth on the line at Top Sports. Keen on Sydney, yep. Even though Parker's going to hurt. He's out with a broken arm on the back of Mills, so doesn't help him for the start. But, you know, Sydney got a reasonable draw.
Brody Grundy.
On the way up.
Yeah.
They've recruited well. Mm. You know, and I think they're around the $10, maybe the best you can get in the market. They've been backed a little. They were about 12.
Yeah.
But keen on Sydney. And the other one, which just from a ratings point of view, which I'm not overly sold from as a team, is Port Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're around the $13. It might have come in just a couple of points there, but got a good draw, good home ground advantage, pretty solid. They've recruited well as well too. So they had big problems with the back half last year. Scoot. They've really recruited to cover those bases.
Yep.
Just like Sydney, like their midfield, very young, got good speed, not too many weaknesses, can kick goals, and their defense is good. So they would be the two I'm leaning to. For the Lays, Carlton, a bit like the Broncos, I guess, in the NRL, can't believe Carlton are that short. You know, discussions last night when we were having dinner with a bookie there, and he told me he was a bit keen on Carlton. I said, well, I'd be going the other way if I were you. So might have talked him out of having a bet there. I just think they've got a much tougher draw this year.
Okay.
And the hype on them.
It's crazy, isn't it?
The hype on them is a big key, and history shows Carlton don't handle pressure well.
Yeah, I agree.
So until they get it done, I don't want any piece of Carlton. The other ones that I wouldn't be keen at this stage, well, Melbourne's going to be hard to buy into at the price. They've got a good team, but as we discussed earlier, their off-field's not great. And the other two, just mid-markets around the $14 mark, Adelaide are way too short on what they did last year. They're on the way up, but to win a flag's a big, big jump for them. Let's make finals first. And I think Geelong now losing Guthrie out of the midfield for 2 months, they've just got pretty much no one in the midfield. Mm. Got a very good home ground advantage. Engine. They just can't win the flag.
Yep.
They can make the eight. They can't win the flag.
Mm. Let's just circle back to Port Adelaide because I think it's a little bit interesting. So they got Radaglia, and I saw something interesting about Jason Horne-Francis. He's obviously been a bit of a whipping boy, and that tends to happen with those high draft picks, but he's got a similar stats profile to Patrick Dangerfield, or he's sort of on par with the same amount of games under the belt. He could have a real breakout year, couldn't he?
I don't get the pod on him.
Huh?
I don't get the pod on him at all. He had a good, you know, he wasn't settled at North, didn't want
just
to be
easy
there
target.
Year one.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe an easy target, I don't know. I thought he had a really good year for Port. And, yeah, look out if he explodes, and he will. He's a good player.
Mm.
If he goes from that 15 to 20 possessions to start getting 20 to 25 and he lines up against with Butters and Rose,
yeah,
they're as good as any midfield going around. So,
yeah
I don't get the pot on Horne-Francis. I think he's a potential top
star.
Liner. He's a potential top liner, yeah.
All right, so yeah, the bit of a market move there. So 13 into $11, and I guess what Port Adelaide will be probably your best way.
Yeah, it's not really a side I get around too much, but yeah, just how they've come up in the ratings and their makeup of their side and how you rate each player and what it comes up to. Yeah, they're near the top of the tree.
Okay, and does that reflect? Let's have a look at the top four to make the top four market. And you want a similar type page there with Port Adelaide Swans? Are you thinking that's they're the sort of the value options there, or are you a little bit conservative wanting to sort of play the Collingwood and the Brisbane's there?
Yeah, it's a good point. Brisbane, I think, are probably not the value necessary, but if I was going to pick one out, I think they're pretty rock solid just in terms of chances to miss the top four are probably the most unlikely with their makeup. And
GWS looks short.
Yeah, GWS is short, and obviously there's a pot there for Carlton, so that kind of makes not so much Port, but more Sydney. I think Sydney around that $3 plus is decent value. On the back page there, someone will jump up from the final eight, and I think you discussed it in the opening was the Gold Coast Suns, which we'll discuss here shortly. But, yeah, it's a big jump from coming outside the eight to go inside the top four. Teams can do it, but I just think it's unlikely.
Looking at the top eight market, and we won't really discuss the sharp end there, $12, $15. They're probably hard bets to chime into, but around the flip odds, you've got Adelaide Crows $1.75, the Cats $2, the Western Bulldogs $2, then you got Bombers $2.75, Gold Coast Suns $2.75, and then you got the Saints $3 and Frio Dockers $3.75. Three sides that sort of appear to be all at sea, Western Bulldogs, Bombers, and Fremantle for mine, just as a mug view. But Saints, you say, have got a much tougher draw, and the Suns, buoyed by Hardwick and possibly easier draw, they could be the value at $2.75. And as you say, Cats at $2, you'd rather be on the lay side there. Thoughts about that?
Yeah, spot on. You couldn't have summarised it better, I think. I think Gold Coast are the ones. If you're going to have a bet on that second page, the 275, just with their draw, they've had a huge leg up. And I think the AFL can't do any more with this team. They found a way to get a top line coach in there, Hardwick. They'll have a better profile. They've given them an unbelievable draw, especially. No. But they've had a couple of seasons where they've been at the
knocked
turn.
Knocked the door down.
They've been like 8-3 at the turn and stuff and just haven't run out the year. So they've got the capabilities. Again, they've got a good early draw, so the AFL will have give them every chance. And I think Hardwick's he's under a little bit of pressure going up there because he knows that I think the fallout if they don't make the eight this year. So I'd be surprised if they're not really, really close. Their team's got some work to do around it, but their best team, especially that midfield, are definitely capable of making it. St Kilda, I think, are the other one that are probably a good price, just the fact that they play in a lot of close games. And their coach plays defensive, so they don't often get blown out. And the ones around it, the Bulldogs have got a query mark and you can have Essendon all day long.
Okay. Let's have a look at the Brownlow medal. And obviously Nick Dacos missed a lot of time last season, but he's the favourite here. 530 is an interesting price. Maybe they're just trying to fish out being top odds there, top sport, keen to get him in. Sam Walsh, $11. Bontempelli, $12. Errol Goulden, $13. Lachie Neal, $13. Petrarca, $15. Zach Butters, $15. And you've got maybe Toby Green there at $17. Patrick Cripps, $19. And then Clayton Oliver at $20. So, again, Dacos, he's going to rack him up. He's so exposed at the moment. Hard to really talk anyone out of him. He's a genuine polar. So is Sam Walsh. Bontempelli is an interesting one. I tend to find you'd probably need to finish in the top four to sort of win the Brownlow. I think Shane Crawford, there's only a few players that have won the count from a lower ranked team. So that's a bit of an outlier. But Errol Goulden is someone that you spoke about on the stream yesterday on our live stream. Yep. He's the value in the market, you'd say?
Yeah, well, they're my tips. Yeah, I think both Goulden and Butters I'm keen on. Their profile on the back end of the year was as good as you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like just a crazy run of a line. So they just got beaten by a high count in Neil. And they're both in teams that I think will go well, both Sydney and Port. So, yeah, I think at the price you'll get good runs for your money. These two players are guns. I think they are unlikely to get injured and stuff like that. They're very clean players, so suspension shouldn't bother you at all. So, yeah, I'm pretty keen at those two. No pot on either Bont or Neil. As you said, the query about Bont and Pally, even though he's clearly their best player, is do they win enough games for him to get a chance to probably pile around the 32 mark? And Neil's just a freak in a good side. He just gaps the rest. He's clearly the best player. They'll be a top four side, if not top two, so they'll win plenty of games. And I just think he's in the window where, it's unlikely to try and win three Brownlows. It puts him in an absolute rare. But there can't be any pot on him. I'm keen to lay the top two. You can argue all day, Dacos. Yes, all things being equal, he wins the Brownlow last year. But what price does he be if he went on and got it? Would he have been? I mean, $5.50 is a ridiculously
pretty short
at the start of the year. You don't often see him.
Yeah, usually.
Normally $8-$10 a
fee. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And he's in a good side. To go, he might
take more away.
Might go on the increase as well. Hard to come in at that price. Mm. I'd rather back Collingwood, I think.
To win the premiership.
Okay. Than Dacos for the Brownlow. And I can't have Walsh's second favourite. I don't know how they profile to get Walsh. He's injury prone. He's in a side that he's got two main players he can take votes off, and Cripps is a machine and Kerno Poles high. So yeah, I think there's some betting edges in the Brownlow.
Yeah, nice. Errol Goulden and Zach Butters might be two to consider there. Looking at the Coleman medal, is always a little bit tricky. One forward, someone usually just goes on a heater in these sort of races. But Charlie Kerno's a favourite here, $5.50. Nick Larkey, $6.25. Jeremy Cameron, $9. Oscar Allen, $13. Taylor Walker, $13. Tom Lynch, $14. You got Max King, $17. Peter Wright, $18. Tom Hawkins, Jesse Hogan, Joe Danaher. And then a couple of the Western Bulldogs boys. Wouldn't know where to start with that one. Looks tricky.
No. I'm bullish on this market.
Okay.
Sent out back Cameron at the $9 there and the third pick, but really keen on Larky.
Yeah.
We sent it out when we sent out the the futures for the Sting punters. He was $11, crazy price.
Yeah.
I know he's in a poor side in the Kangaroos.
Yeah.
His season last year, I know he didn't win the Coleman, but for what North did and his scoring output for that team is, I'm not sure stats have ever been matched. It was crazy for a bad side. And this kid's he's a genuine freak. And if this guy played for a top line, it's like a Carlton, if it was
popular side,
like you would have kicked 110, 120 goals.
Yeah.
At $11, massive price. And you can see now, I think he's into 650 or 625. He's been smacked.
Yeah.
He looked good in the practice match against Collingwood. I know it's a practice match. He kicked four to the maybe half or three quarters that he played. He'll give you a genuine ticket. There's not many that can win it. This guy's a genuine full forward. He doesn't muck around. He's a big unit. They look for him all the time, and they know. I think Kangaroos are on the improve. I like their overseason wins this year.
Yep.
This guy's not sure he can kick near 100. This guy's got 80-plus written all over him. Huge, so huge bet.
He could carry them across the line for like second
and
place.
And the difference is, which Top Rugby love, unbelievable kick for goal.
Yeah.
It's an absolute rarity in the AFL.
I'm bullish on him. Yeah, no pot on Kerno either. He's a real, he's a real top liner. But, I'm keen on Larky.
Yeah. West Coast look like they're going to have the spoon sewn up. But, maybe Nick Larky can carry the Kangas out of the abyss there. So, 235 the Eagles. North Melbourne, 275. Hawthorn. I can't believe I'm reading that on the third line of betting, 975. I think we'll do a bit of damage. But, obviously, some injuries in our back line is going to make life very tough for us. But, might be a blessing in disguise because we don't have the list to challenge anyway. Let's have a look at the NAB Rising Star winner market because it looks like there's more of a glimmer of hope for the West Coast Eagles and the Kangas. You got Harley Reid favourite here at $3.20. Look good in a practice match. George Wardlaw is $4.50. Riley Sanders is $5.50. And then you got Colby McKercher from the Kangaroos at $5.80. Cleared out those four in the top of the market. Who catches your eye obviously – Reid's the obvious, but outside of him?
Yeah, traditionally hasn't been a great betting market for myself, the Rising Star. It's there's always someone who's been pretty short. There's no put on Harley Reid. The wraps around him are huge. He is soft in the market. They started him too short, which is fair enough. I understand it from a bookie's point of view. He's getting out, and I think he'll continue to get out. I just think his profile for West Coast, obviously play every game. I just don't think he's as a high possession getter. Like he'll be damaging, but I don't think he was high. And if West Coast just keep getting pumped, which I think they will, I think they're clear favourites. Well, I know they're favourites, but I think they're a clear pick for the spoon. And I think that'll damage his chances.
Yep.
So I think he'll continue to drift. I know Wardlaw's coming a point from 550 to 450, but the third and fourth picks there, McKercher and Riley Sanders for the Bulldogs, they're the two we sent out. We backed them at $8 and $10. Mm-hmm. So they've come into, $6 and $5.50, yep. I think one of them. Sanders he looks elite. Like I know it's only again practice form, but that's the first chance you get a look at him. It's like the horse in the mounting yard. You can only go off and going into a blue dime or something. This kid's a freak.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll play in the midfield and the Bulldogs, and he's a legit chance. I really like him. And the way McKercher is going to set up for North seems to be a bit like Sheasel, who won it last year for North. They'll put him onto a halfback flank. He just looks the same kind of profile player, very clean. They'll give him the ball to use, so he'll get plenty of his chances. So I think at the value, I think two of those, hopefully one of them will give you a sight going home in the stretch.
Outstanding. All right, a little bit of meat off the bone for the futures markets. But if you want the comprehensive guides, I think MG's got about 15 pages deep. He's got bets on all these types of markets in big depth. So if you want to figure out where your team sort of fits in, or if you want to start attacking the make, the missed eight, and get all the value runners and shop early for the futures. I know they both had great futures results last year. $66, so it's $66 for the AFL and $66 for the NRL package. So you've got plenty of time, even though there's a couple of games at Vegas, all these markets are going to stay up. And, yeah, there's plenty of meat and opportunity for probably, the first 6 to 10 rounds. So get your teeth stuck into that one and buy it through the shop. Top Rope, are you still with us? There's pretty heavy AFL chat there.
A lot of heavy AFL chat. My one takeaway is that there are a lot of white names in the AFL. I'm not saying a lot of too many Tino Fasumawalis and whatnot there. It's a lot of Harry Reid's or whatever his name was.
It's good for me because I wouldn't be able to pronounce them.
Mate, it's good for me hosting the show too because I'm not really known for my efforts with the tongue twisters, but a tantalising opener is Manly versus South Sydney out of Las Vegas. And We touched upon it early for the live stream, but obviously different sort of audience here. So let's go through the current prices at Top Sport, and it's 180 South Sydney, $2 for Manly, one and a half's the line, and then the total is 41.5. So no Jack Whiten. Rabbits have got a couple of injuries here. How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, local judges tipping Manly in this one. I've got no real feel for this game. Look, South probably have a better team. They're certainly better coached and they'll be better prepared. They've been based in San Diego for a while. Manly coached by Anthony Seibold, who's a complete moron. And he ex-South has also been trying to wind them up, and he's been getting pretty wound up himself. But a couple of things. Underdogs are usually the way to bet in round one, 58% they cover up. And Manly, last 4 years with Trbojevic, winning 60% of games. Without him, 35% of games. So he's obviously back, so that's pretty big news, plus all the outs. So, look, no real lean either way there, but super bullish the total, 41.5. A couple of key stats here. Unders the last 2 years, round one, 13-3.
Yep.
Night game since 2008, round one, go under at 63.8%. And the field's probably 6 metres narrower.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
It's a huge one. So, there's been some good points made around PVL's going to want this to be a spectacle, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, but I don't know where they're finding the space to score tries.
Yeah,
I just don't understand when that's going to happen. So, I'm very, very keen to under here.
Massive angle,
and the goals are shorter too.
Yeah,
so that has a huge impact on kicking. So,
and the interesting, obviously, in your weekly tipping service, you're going to add some more try scorer bets to that. So, I do see that sort of reflects in who you're tipping here, and it makes sort of some sort of logic. You're choosing players like Cody Walker and DCE, Daly Cherry Evans. So. Yep. You're not expecting tries out wide.
No, this is not going to be a game where wingers are going to score, kind of creating overlaps and stuff like that. Like, essentially what's going to happen is it's going to be like 14 on 14. It's an extra defender, and a couple of teams have practiced on the field, on a small, like, haven't been, have notably complained about the lack of space, so it's going to take some creativity and whatnot inside. Like, that plays like Latrell, obviously Vay, but these are just not, because I'm so bullish on the under. These aren't games I'll be getting heavily involved in for the try scorers, but you will see it over coming weeks that there are going to be games where we're going to back three or four value try scorers and we're going to be nuts. So got a nice little model going for the try scorers this year, so very keen.
Yeah, outstanding. So that's Sunday at 1:30, so must tune in. It's going to be some sort of spectacle out of Las Vegas, and fascinating to see.
The global game.
Well, it's... what their crowd's like, how much interest, and how deep the marketing sort of responds, the Americans' response to the marketing is going to be a fascinating watch. So, gosh, if only you're on the junket at Vegas.
Filthy. Mm. Absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
Loss goes on. Andrew Abdo, not a big top rope fan.
All right, let's have a look at the second match, and it's at 3:30. You got the Roosters and the Broncos, $1.60 Broncos, 2.35 Roosters, 3.5 is the line there. Looks like there's been money at the minus into $1.85, and the total's 39.5 here, and slight money for the overs, which is somewhat puzzling off the back of some of your comments with the field sizes here, but. Broncos lost all these players, roster changes. You're big on Roosters. So are they going to open up with a winning start, the Roosters?
Yeah, I think the Roosters value in this one. I talked about the overs, unders again. I won't bore everyone with those stats again. But a couple of key outs for the Roosters. They've lost their new recruit, Dom Young, who was one of the top try scorers last year, and Jared Weir-Hargreaves. But they've got enough depth in both positions to cover off pretty well there. Brisbane All Clear made it. Interesting selection decision. Took Dean Marin over the veteran Corey Oates in round one. Roosters have won 5 of the last 7 against the Broncos. Oh, I think the Roosters have a big edge over the Broncos on their bench.
Yep.
Like, I think they're a more mobile pack. I think they're well suited to this game. I'll be back on the Roosters. And particularly if you can get plus 4, we're at 3.5 now and the line's going up. Plus 4 underdogs in round one. And in the first 8 rounds, absolute cash money. So, all over the Roosters in this one, and we'll really be steaming if it gets to plus 4.
Outstanding. And try scorer, Lindsay Collins?
Lindsay Collins does not score many tries, but he's come up as one of the very try scorers. Scored 3 in his last 10 or 12 last year. Wow. Scored in Origin, like a big price, and this is like we talked about the last game. I think where the trials come, they're going to come through the middle. And in these early season games and in like the pre-season games, we saw a lot of, you know, a lot of props crashing over. And I think that's what we're going to see a bit of this week.
Mm. What price is he?
$10, around the $10 mark.
Yep.
All right, so two games for Top Rope this week. So we'll be punching out his greatest game of all subscription later today, so on Thursday. So make sure you sign up. And if you miss the boat or you're listening to the show on Friday or Saturday, there's still time, so you can still jump on that package. So two games this week, and there's another half dozen or so next week. So nice little entree, and you've got the main course next week. So we're rationing you back onto the NRL. It's going to be...
I know. I tell you what, it's a real tease there. It's a real tease, not having any Thursday, Friday or Saturday games this week, but we're fine.
Opening round, we won't go through the matches until next week, but there's a few markets up on Top Sport. You've got Swans D's, Lions, Carlton, Suns, Tigers, and GWS Collingwood. If I was going to knock around a bookie with one bet, an early market mover, have you got anything for us in any of those matches, MG? Anything that tickles your fancy?
Good, real good lineups. Yeah, I probably without haven't gone too much, and obviously team selection would be big, but yeah, probably just Melbourne at the plus in that game.
Okay,
I think I know it's at Sydney first up. I just think. Yeah, I'm a bit like Top Rope first game. There's probably a chance you'll be on all pluses at this stage as well. So from an overall kind of thing, yeah, right. If you want to delve in,
yeah.
Just my first look without. Yeah, you know, I know we've got a lot of practice games to go this week, but yeah, all four look like shading if you really want to get involved. Wow. If I was going to have one, probably Melbourne. I think they're plus eight at the moment, something like that.
Yeah, 8.5.
I just think it'll be a close game.
Mm, fascinating. All right, get on the outsiders early at the handicap. All right, I think that's about a wrap from us. So head to littlebirdie.live if you want Mark's package. I think it's $25 a week and then $33 a week for Top Rope stuff. And you'll get that weekly via your email. So if you're rusted on and you're keen to bet throughout the season, I think it's pretty good prices. I think it's, what, $474 for yours, Top Rope, for yours, MG. And it works out to be around sort of $600 or $775 actually for Nick's stuff. So you save if you buy the whole season pack. If you get the whole season guide too, you'll get the free preseason guide. So you get the futures as well. So make sure you jump into littlebirdie.live. And otherwise, you'll see us on a weekly basis. And we'll preview, I guess, the feature games or the big TV games on sort of Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. So you get the marquee games for free thanks to our sponsors, Top Sport and Punting Form. And should be in for a cracking year. But any other final thoughts?
Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. One of the Travis Kelce playbook.
No, MG. I'm looking forward pumped. To it. Back-to-back games on Sunday in Vegas. I think hopefully, as Top Rope was saying, I think there's 35,000 people sold. Hopefully they give away the other 25,000, pack it out. Should be great.
Should be great.
It's, yeah, soccer can get it. Soccer in the rearview mirror. The world game now is rugby league.
Greatest game of all.
Greatest game of all.
Can't wait for it. So this Sunday, make sure the missus and the kids are out of the house and you get stuck into the betting action at Top Sport. And can't wait to talk about all the results and all the action and preview next week's games back here on Little Birdie Podcast, back on Thursday Lions. See you guys.